Right, new year, and comes in first, doesn't it? So here's my first. Before I go any further, I can't take all the credit for this, so St. Peter's, Anita's been a substantial help on this as well, so that's the first thing. And there are a few questions sort of as we go through, but not necessarily for answers now, but there might be ones you might just want to ponder on and sort of take away, or we might just want to reflect on any of them later on at the normal time, if anyone particularly has anything to say. I do hope you all had a great Christmas and a time of rest and fun or relaxation with family and friends is the first thing. And secondly, thanks to everyone that's helped out of all sorts of things over the last year, particularly the last 6 months, and through a fairly difficult and challenging period for all of us and keeping things going. I know I've said it before, but I'll say it again, it's been absolutely great what we've been able to corporately managed to still do in Andy's unfortunate absence for a short while. And if I've not said it to you already individually, may I wish you a happy new year as well at the outset. I wonder if anyone's made any new year resolutions. You often hear, don't you, people sort of about world peace, health, keeping fit, maybe eating a bit less food, or even just reading the Bible a little bit more. But it seems to me, I often think when it comes to New Year resolutions, for me it's actually about keeping it simple, something that means things, and actually have a chance of achieving. So for me, it's being there for my godkids, family, doing my best in the roles that I've been trusted to do at work or here or elsewhere to perform, good health, and trying to find that little bit of time to relax where we can. Funny enough, it's in my appraisal this year for work to restore my balance a little bit on that one. I was. Seems to me as we start this new year, life can get back to the ordinary. And sometimes it can be a bit of a sinking feeling. But we can't be on the top of the mountains all the time, can we? So again, it seems to me that we need to learn how to embrace and rejoice in the ordinary and where we're at any one moment. My mum will often say, rejoice and trust in today and not worry about tomorrow. As we've got older, I think more often she's right. As someone that likes lists, that's not easy, as I know myself, but it seems like a good model to try. I guess the first couple of questions I sort of pose to everyone is, how does God speak to you in your ordinary day of life? What previous events may have done in your life in the last or recent years that you may treasure in your heart or may look to ahead? For me, it's been often the God kids growing up, learning a few lessons from the hospital experience a couple of years back, knowing how precious life is, and the worth of, and the warmth of this place, and friends, and then our own family, just a little wedding of no inconsequential fact in a few weeks' time. Looking forward to 2023, we can be sure that there will be plenty of challenges ahead for all of us. And in this time of economic uncertainty, many people are entering this year feeling fearful, I'm sure. And we don't know how quickly the economy will recover. We hear and we know of climate extremes. And still there is a war in Ukraine and poverty elsewhere. It's fair to say that we live in a time of huge uncertainty and change. And a natural reaction to change on the whole is to fear and resist it and try to cling to what we know, whether it's routine or place or people or ideas or certainties. So what does we in our numbers reading, we hear that God wants to bless you and us, give us peace, and wants to turn his face towards us and be gracious and shine his face upon us. promises that were made many years ago and apply and are still there today. And so I pose the next set of questions of what does this say about God wants to you in your life? In what ways maybe has God's power already been evident recently? And what blessings may we pass on and pour out onto others? The truth is, and it's not particularly aimed at anyone present, that often when people go to church, it can sometimes be the most scared of change. And whilst it's okay to question, and I'm not one myself either to agree with change for the sake of change's sake, we shouldn't forget that as Christians, we are products of both enduring continuity and earth-shattering change. For me, in this last year or so, when I took on your warden role in July, or June was it? We didn't quite expect that the role was going to be quite as wide as what it's turned out to be this last 6 months. Plenty of change at work, in the higher up, which makes some difficult decisions within the paid job at the moment. A few years ago, we didn't quite end my time at Scouts as we quite hoped we would. And for a short while, or actually for quite a long while, there's a sizable loss of identity for myself as a result. And with God kids, we slightly feel in growing up, because I can just about do the teacups at Gulliver's Land, but when they get into the teens and they want to go to Alton Towers, I'm in a bit of trouble. New Year seems a good time at which to question, individually and corporately, where we are, but at the same time remind ourselves that as Christians, we have the safety and the knowledge of God's love if we trust Him. As we have sung in our hymns today, or will do in the rest of them, maybe there's a few key lines there to remind ourselves. The first one that we've already sung reminds us of delight and joy and being triumphant with Christ. And in the ones to come, we are told that the weak are made strong and that there is hope in Jesus' blood and righteousness. And we can at all times, even in the times of the most heavy darkness, rely on His unchanging grace. We're rooted in continuity because we're rooted in the ongoing story of God's relationship with His people. This morning we pause to focus on an often overlooked bit of Christmas story where it's never mentioned in carols or nativity plays or on Christmas cards. The end of our Gospel reading from Luke is the understated continuation of the Nativity story, overshadowed by all the excitement of the stars and angels and shepherds. 8 days after the shepherds departed from the Nativity scene, glorifying and praising God for the holiday scene, Mary and Joseph undertook the ceremony of having their new baby named and circumcised. Maybe think a bit more about the name of Jesus in your own time. But this event we read about at the end of Luke's nativity story. It reminds us that the story of God's relationship with His people doesn't start with Jesus, but it reaches all the way back to the beginning of the Old Testament. Jesus was a Jewish baby, and He was circumcised on the 8th day following His birth, for the same reason all Jewish babies still are today. Because of the covenant between God and Abraham established in Genesis. So Jesus stands firmly in the tradition and in the line of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Because Jesus does, so do we. Which means that we know whatever 2023 brings us, we have deep roots that stretch back, literally millennia, and we cannot be easily shaken. But the story also tells us that they not only saw and heard, but then went on to spread the word And that can be scary. But we are all called to do it in our own quiet or bolder ways, through actions or through words or both. And I believe God doesn't make us want to do anything that makes us actually uncomfortable. But we are required to do it. But although we have the continuity, we mustn't forget that Jesus also represented considerable change and challenge. The very fact that the story of Jesus is told in the New Testament tells us that in Jesus God was doing something he had done previously. He is reaching out to his people no longer through the law or the prophets, but through the person of his Son. Jesus reinterpreted both the law and the prophets through his own words and actions. But he didn't dispense with the Old Testament, but rather the covenant and Abraham, between Abraham and God, was fulfilled. The point is this: the person of Jesus, the person of whom we are part as the members of this church, and we often share communion with, represents both continuity with the old and huge discontinuity and change. And so we are invited at the start of this new year to embrace change, knowing that God can and does use change in creative and amazing ways. Without change, there will be no newness or new growth. And without change, there would have been no room for Jesus even in the story of God's relationship with his people. But as I've already said, whilst at the same time trusting in the stability of knowing of his grace. Mary and Joseph didn't just circumcise Jesus on the eighth day, but he also gave him the name which the angel Gabriel commanded that they should give him, the name of Jesus. The meaning of names is important. And Matthew in his Gospel explains that this child is named Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Same applies to here in Luke's Gospel, although the angel's explanation to Mary is slightly different. This child will be great, the Son of the Most High, and will inherit David's throne and reign over the house of Jacob forever. That might remind some of us of Isaiah's words about a child being born who will inherit David's throne forever, being called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Prince of Peace. I accept there's some weighty stuff all there. Words of promise and hope hidden in the name of Jesus is the important thing. But another equally important thing, I think, is not that, but none of it would have been obvious to those who saw the child that he was that day that he was named. He was born in a stable, in a strange town, looking and crying like any other 8-year-old Jewish baby, with a name that did nothing to draw attention to his future. That seems quite the opposite to what the world will often tell us in these days of instant fame and success. Only Mary and Joseph knew the particular reason for the naming, and unlike the name of John, no one thought it odd. So as we approach 2023, much of the world today, like then, fails to recognise the significance of Jesus. In last year's end of year census, for the first time, the percentage of Christians in the UK dropped below 50%. Although, interestingly, the percentage of other religions didn't massively increase. The figure that massively increased was those that declared to have no faith or no God. For some, Jesus may be an insult. For some, no more than a common name to take in vain. And for some, a person for lots of questions of why this and why that can happen for a God that is full of grace and goodness. But for us who bear the name of Jesus today, for us who worship his name, We know that it is full of power and promise. Even in those darkest days, we need to remember that. There is power in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, as a song, and as a song will say, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Key point is the name of Jesus is a name we can trust. So to bring this all to a close, as we stand on the threshold of the new year, as individuals and as community, how are we called to live? Like many people, we may have resolutions, hopes, plans, fears about the year ahead, but also hopefully expectant joy. But whatever the new year brings, we know this for certain. Jesus is God's salvation for us. His name is above all names. And he will be with us whatever comes throughout the whole of our life. I'm just going to give you one more reading, a very short one, and many of you will know that it's my favourite verses in the Bible, and sometimes can be misconstrued for working yourself to death, but that's not quite how I see it. To me, it's about a positive message of believing yet more good is yet to come, but we just have to play our part in doing so. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and striving toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize, which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Thank you. A happy new year. And on behalf of Andy, at the start of a new year, corporately remain in hope and trust that all will be good. Amen.